All of us probably have loved ones that are going through things and problems, and much to our concern, probably. Like our grandson James going back to Saudi Arabia, and then my other grandson, the youngest one of all of our grandchildren, is going to start this month in training in New Mexico for the Border Patrol. He's 18, not even 19 yet, and he's going into the Border Patrol, and he already knows where he's going to be stationed, Ajo. And that's one of the main corridors, you know, and it makes us nervous, and like I said, we just keep praying for them. That's all we can do, because being a Border Patrol was not a good, safe job either, and but he's sure enough, that's what he wants to do. So, you know, we raise them, raise our children, and hope for our grandchildren to do the things that they want to do and to go on with their lives. And we just got to keep them lifted up in prayer and keep praying for them. And he's the youngest, but he's been attending Assembly of God down there and been filled with the Holy Spirit. And so I'm very happy with that. And I know God can keep him safe. And I know he can keep James safe in Saudi Arabia. But we always ask for God's will, whatever God's will is. And sometimes, you know, it's hard to accept God's will. How many of you know that? God's will may go contrary to what our will is. And sometimes it's a struggle. I'm going to talk tonight, speak to you as the Lord lays on my heart, the Holy Ghost wind. I'm going to go to Acts 2, verses 1 through 4. I remember when I got saved, I didn't know anything about the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit, however you want to call him. I didn't know anything about it. I wasn't raised in a church that believed in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I was raised in a nominal church. And I had a good pastor and was good people. And they believed God as far as they were knowledgeable of God and his word. And it was hard for me to come to a Pentecostal church because in reality, I was always taught that speaking in tongues was not of God for this day. And so, therefore, it was a hard time. But I finally broke down. I won't get into all of that. And I finally went. And like I said many times, they had a mighty move of the Holy Spirit in the first service I ever went to. And it kind of scared me, because I'd never been used to that kind of church. I've been used to them coming into church and sitting in their pew, and the women with their hats on covering their head, and all the men, you know, everybody in suits and all dressed up and in their finest attire, you know, and coming to church and very reverent and very quiet and looking up on the board, and you knew what song you were going to sing. The hymnals were all listed, and where the sermon was going to be was all ready on the board, and so everything was just so-so. And I went into Pentecostal churches and found out it wasn't like that. You didn't know from one minute to the next who was going to stand up and sing a song back in those days. And you didn't know what was going to happen in those days when I first started. But then I come to find out there was something I went back after my first time. But when you feel the presence of the Holy Ghost, the wind of the Holy Spirit moving through the church, and the presence of His Spirit, you cannot do anything but yield to what God is doing. And I wanted what they had. I wanted it. And the scripture tells us to seek after God and His righteousness. It says, all these things shall be added unto you. I realized that if I wanted the Holy Spirit, I was going to have to seek after Him. Seek after His presence. It wasn't just going to walk in and get it. Now, I've seen people that have got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost all at the same time. Right at the same time, the Holy Spirit fell upon them. They accepted it. They got saved. Boom. With the evidence of speaking in tongues. And that's the way it is in the Church of God. We believe it's a baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's the evidence of speaking in tongues. That's what it's all about. But everybody has said, well, why do I need the Holy Spirit? I can serve God. Well, in our nation right now, as it's going, and what's happening, you need more than just Jesus Christ in your lives. You need the power to fight that and fight the devil and take authority over him. And that's what the Holy Spirit is for. He's to bring power into your life to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ first. But there's many gifts of the Spirit. And if you read the scripture, you'll find out that the gifts of the Spirit are to edify the body of Christ. Now that word edify, what does it mean? It means to build up, to strengthen. And that's what God wants for us. If you take the Holy Spirit out of the church, you have nothing. You have nothing. You have Jesus Christ and you have salvation. And you'll go to heaven probably and be with the Lord. It's a power to do what God wants you to do. It's going to take the power of the Holy Spirit to move, to be a witness, so we can be witnesses to a world that is struggling right now and going through the greatest battle. A nation that's going through a great battle. Our nation, our country. A battle. And I can't battle the demonic forces on myself. I cannot do it. The devil will eat up my flesh. He will tear me down. But with the power of the Holy Spirit in my life, and with the first Jesus Christ, don't misunderstand me. But you've got to receive Jesus Christ into your life before you can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You cannot receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit without Jesus Christ. You've got to have Jesus Christ in your life. Because you are baptized into the body of Christ. When you receive Jesus Christ, you are baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. You become part of the body of Christ. All of us sitting here that accepted Christ had been baptized by the Spirit into the body. And we're all one in unity. When the Holy Spirit is not there to move, then it creates a problem and confusion in the body of Christ. The scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit, wherever He is, there is liberty, there is freedom. There's freedom to do as the Lord leads us to do. To operate in the gifts of the Spirit. That ain't my message for tonight. I'm just getting into it here. Trying to dig my feet deep into it. But I just want God to move in our lives. I want God to move in our church. I want the Holy Spirit to be present. I just read some prophecies by on my cell phone yesterday that were fairly long, and David Wilkerson was one of them. I don't know whether you ever heard his prophecy about the end times, about the burning of New York City and buildings going to decay in. Or Oral Roberts years ago, Steve Hill from the Brownsville revival had a big article when I was reading them, and all of them were saying basically the same things. That everything we see happening in the world right now, all the conflicts, all the battles, everything that's going on, is to bring prophecy to pass. To bring the things of God, as He has said in the Scripture, through the prophets, of what was going to happen. And it's coming down the road. And I don't believe it's too far away for things to really start falling into place for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't tell you when, or what day or what year or how it's going to take or when. A lot of people have tried to do that. And the Scripture tells me, as Jesus said, there's only one person that knows when He's coming back. And He said, that's the Father in heaven. He's the only one that knows when He's going to send His Son back for the church. But the church needs to be prepared. It needs to be ready. In Acts 2, 1 through 4 says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. I like to say they were all in one mind, one thought. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. Man, I would love to experience something like that. I've been in services where it was so thick that you could cut it with a knife probably. The presence of the Holy Spirit was there. Filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of a fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they began to speak with another tongue, as the Spirit gave them utterance. You cannot do it on your own. It takes, I'm going to say this, if you listen to what I'm saying, it takes a sanctified person. By sanctified means to be separated unto God for the Holy Spirit to baptize you. A sanctified, a cleansed person. And I think about that, how I thought when I first got saved and come to the Lord. I was not a clean person. And when I realized, you know, I went to church as a teenager, sat in church services, was there, but I didn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. They called us up and had us sign papers that we become members. And on one side of it, it said, I will not drink, I will not do this, I will not smoke, I will not do that. And I didn't quite agree with that when I seen some of the men from the church going out on the steps out front smoking their cigarettes in between church and Sunday school and church. That was a very bad witness. And so I went through all that. And this little fly must be part of the devil's program. I'm going to get him. But anyhow, I remember all that, and I remember how it just seemed like I'd go to church and sit there and didn't feel anything. Have you ever been into a church where you didn't feel anything? You know what the Wilkerson and all them said? Basically, they said, if you're in a church like that, you better get out of it and leave. You need to be where the Spirit of God is present. You need to be there because that's what convicts the individuals of their sin. It's a spirit in the presence of the Almighty God. And when I look at that, I think, man, I would have liked to have been in that upper room on that day when the 120 were up there. When they were up in that room. I don't think they were in that room talking about what happened during the day or where they would have been and what they ate the next day or what they're looking for. They were up in that room and tarrying for 10 days. Tarrying for the presence. And you know what? We can't tarry but a few minutes before the throne of God to get what God has for us. We want drive-through Christianity. Lord, I'm going to come through the front doors and back out the side door and expect to get everything you got for me. How many here remember when you spend from midnight, maybe 1 o'clock in the morning, praying at the altars? And people praying there and you praying with them to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to get a breakthrough. And how wonderful it was when somebody got filled with the Spirit and started to speak in tongues. Or when someone come into the church and the atmosphere of the church was so strong in the Spirit of God that they came to an altar after the sermon, bent, knelt down and got and accepted Jesus Christ. The Spirit drew them to that altar. The Spirit drew them to Jesus Christ. And then, seeking the Holy Spirit. I sought the Holy Spirit. I read books. I read Acts. I don't know how many times I read through Acts. I read Acts. I read Acts. I read Acts. I read books. I read everything. And I'd come every time they have an altar call. I'd go up. I wanted to be filled with the Holy Spirit. There was a desire, a burning desire within me to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you know, the funny part about it is, we try and try. I've heard them praying for people. Hang on. Stand up. Kneel down. And I thought, all you got to do is seek the face of God and pray and yield your life to Him and you'll receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He said, that's too easy. Something like that needs to be hard. No, it's easy. I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit 1,200 feet underground in the mines. Laying on what we call a leggin, which was a board to you. And I read a book about so thick. And in the end of the book, the writer of the book, who was an evangelist, and I can't remember his name, but he said, open your mouth like a little bird and just let God fill it. I finished my lunch and I just read the rest of that book and I was laying on the end over here. So I turned my back to all the other guys and just like he said, I lay there and I went. And it scared me to death. No, it didn't scare me to death because I'm alive right now. But it scared me so bad because when I did that, I got baptized with the Holy Spirit. And I started speaking in another language. And I went. I didn't want nobody to hear me. Because there was already calling me a Bible toter. And so I thought, oh, how easy it was just to yield. And in the upper room, that's where they were. They were yielding to the Spirit of God. They came in there waiting for the gift. And how many of you know that the Holy Spirit Baptism is a gift to you. It's a gift to you from God to run your life, to regulate. And you know, after that, man, I had no trouble. And the other scary thing that happened to me was, wasn't too long after that, we were in a church service, and the Spirit of God was moving, and somebody gave a message in tongues. And I thought, oh, that was me. And the pastor said, let's yield to the Spirit. This needs to be interpreted. And we're all standing there and praising the Lord and everybody. And all of a sudden, this comes up inside of me, a bubbling. It's that well of living water. It started to come up inside of me. And all of a sudden, I started to interpret the message. And when I was finished, I said, thus saith the Lord. But I realized something. What an experience that was. What an experience it was to have the Holy Spirit move through me, who once was a sinner and has come to Jesus Christ, to the knowledge of Christ, and then baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence. Nowadays, they want to tell you that you don't have to have the evidence of speaking in tongues to be baptized in the Spirit. There's an indwelling. Yes, there is an indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And that takes place at salvation. The indwelling takes place at salvation. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit is, you've got to realize, baptism means to be immersed. Put under. You come under the Holy Spirit as He covers you. Praise God. I need, at 81 years of old age, I need a fresh anointing. A fresh anointing of God in my life. I say, Lord, I want to be used of You. I want to be used of You. Help me. Guide me by Your Spirit. You know, I ain't going to get through all this message tonight. But I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I think Pentecostal churches have got lax. Very lax. We used to preach and give revivals and have revivals where people came up and accepted Christ and then came up to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit also. There would be altar calls saying, anybody want to receive the baptism, please come up and we'll pray with you. One of our ministers, Brother Charles Kahn of the Church of God, said one time when I was in a meeting, he said one thing. He said, when the church, Pentecostal church, has less people in it baptized in the Holy Spirit than 50%, they're no longer a Pentecostal church. And I always thought about that. I didn't quite agree with it, but I could understand what he was trying to say. That we can't be a Pentecostal church. At least we have people seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit and operating in the gifts of the Spirit. And then not only that, isn't it wonderful that in Galatians 5:22 and 23, it tells us the fruits of the Spirit. And do you know that there's one that's listed in both of them? One thing that's listed in the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. That's faith. Faith is listed in both of them. There's a gift of faith, and there's faith that's the fruit of the Spirit. So it tells me that this faith is very important for us to have trust, to believe in God. The sound of mighty rushing wind. Wind is destructive. And it's unpredictable. This wind came down from heaven above with a force that no one ever could imagine. I can't imagine what it was like in that upper room when 120, and it says all of them, not just one, but all of them got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and it had like cloven tongue with fire on their heads. Praise God. I'd like to see the whole church with fire on their head. Amen. In the presence of the Almighty God. I remember a book I read called A New Wind Blowing, and it was about Indonesia where there was a church. And the people were living around the church called in the fire department because the roof was all on fire. The fire department got there and was trying to put out the fire, and they couldn't put it out. But it wasn't the fire of a fire. It was the fire of God, because the enemy of the church was worshiping and praising God, and gifts were in operation, and miraculous things was happening with the healing power of Christ. I hear some so many times that they say that healing is not for today. That's a lie from the pits of hell. Because you've got to realize that sickness and disease is of the devil. It's not from God. It's of the devil. And if it comes from the devil, he does not want you to believe in the healing power of Christ. And as the Bible says, we are healed by the stripes of Jesus on his back. We are healed. It prophesied we would be healed in the Old Testament. The New Testament says we are healed. It's present day. R is present day, present time. We are healed by the stripes of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It's for today. It's for every born again believer. God, I'm telling you, God loves us, and He gives us away. He loves us so much that He sent His Son to the cross at Calvary to shed His blood for the remission of our sins and set us free from the bondage of this world, and then set our feet upon this rock, Jesus Christ, and the healing power of Christ. When we receive Christ, we not only receive forgiveness for sins, but we receive healing power through the blood of Jesus. It's a force that no one could ever imagine. Oh, what a force. It's so tender, loving, and caring. It can change a life. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, He's so tender and loving and caring. He changed your life. He brought you out of who you were to who you are in Christ Jesus. He sets you free from the bondage of this world. You are no longer entangled into that world. You were set free from the world. Can you fathom a wind blowing inside the church when all the doors and the windows are closed? Swirling around? I tell you, Brother Tony, that makes me want to shout. To think, I want that experience. And don't tell me it can't happen. It can happen when we start praising and worshiping God. Praise and worship are two different things. How many of you knew that? We praise God for what He's done, but we worship Him for who He is. We worship Him because He is the God, the Creator of all things. He knows all that's going on in this earth. Whether you believe it or not, He knows everything that's happening. He knows, and the thing about it is, He knows what's happening to every nation, every country, and every individual. He knows what's happening in every one of your lives. And He don't have a computer. But He loves you. And He cares about you. And all He's saying is Jesus saying there with open arms, "Come unto me, you that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me. Come unto me." And when you come unto Him and yield to Him and seek Him, Don't be afraid of what he's going to do. I've had people tell me, I'm afraid to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I don't know what he's going to do. He may slay me in the power. Praise God. A lot of people, when they get praised in the power, God speaks to them. Right there where they are. And let me tell you something. God wants to move. He wants to move in the body of Christ. He wants to move in the church. The things that are being prophesied that are coming to pass, we need awakening. We need awakening in our own individual lives, an awakening in our country, an awakening in our churches. We need to be woken up. We have been rocked to sleep and become comfortable in what we have and not seeking and wanting more. Man, I got about another 2 hours of stuff here. But I'm not going to lay it on you tonight. The wind brought with it a divine presence of God, which overcame the souls of those who were there. A divine presence of the mighty God. I want the presence of God. Not only in my own individual life, but I want the presence of God to be so real in your lives. In your lives. That you'll wake up in the middle of the night speaking in tongues. That you're waking up in the middle of the night with the presence of God all over you. Talking to you. Seeking. Some people say, well, I don't want to come up in the church and seek the baptism. Well, I'll tell you what you do. You read the book of Acts. You start reading it. For the promises of God and what God did. And you kneel bound by your bed. And you start praying and seeking the baptism of the Lord. You know, you can kneel there. God understands who you are. You can kneel there and say, Lord, I don't know whether this is real or not, but I want to know. Be positive. Tell him. You see, I believe that when we start seeking, when it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, part of the kingdom of God is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. For every one of us. God wants you to be powerful. He wants you to have so much power to be a witness for Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you, there is a wind blowing in our nation. How do I know that? Well, I get on the internet and that I've seen in New York City. There was a concert going on, a Christian concert. There was approximately 65,000 college students there at that concert. They had one in Florida just recently during the holidays too. There was thousands. They showed you a picture of the whole thing. Praising God. Look out. You're either going to come in or you're going to get thrown off to the side. I want to be in the flow. Amen? I don't know about you tonight, but but Brother Tony, I want more. You know, God does not stop giving to us. He will not stop. We stop Him. He wants to bless us. God's blessed my wife and I. We get stuff and checks and things in the mail. And don't get me wrong. That ain't the only blessings we have. But He blesses us financially. And if we're obedient to the Word, if we're obedient to the Word, He's going to bless us. If we're not obedient to the word, we cannot expect the blessing. That means I need to start living my life like the word tells me to live it. I must be obedient to the word of God. And you see, when I become obedient, I ended up becoming sanctified. When I become sanctified, I become a candidate for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So if you walk out of here with anything tonight, just remember, God loves you. God cares about you. God wants to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. He wants to bring our church into a unity in the Spirit to do the work. God has a work for all of us in the last days, and that is to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. To witness for Christ. To reach out to those and not be afraid. Because you see, the baptism of the Holy Spirit will give you the strength and the ability to be that witness whenever God speaks to your heart. I pray tonight that God will bless you. God will talk to you. God will speak to you in such a way that you will hear His voice. Be sensitive. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit in our own individual lives, in the church. Be sensitive. Come saying, Lord, touch me with your Spirit this morning or this evening. Whenever we come into the church, use me, Lord. Use me for your kingdom. Praise God. Sister Halsey.